So grateful to be here today and so grateful to be able to minister to God's people. And this particular series or sermon that I believe that God has was interesting because I understood something that I've been trying to implement in my life. And a lot of times we fail to realize all the tools and the weapons and the arsenals that we have. We fail to realize the things that have already been prepared for us. We fail to realize the ways of the past or the patterns that are already there. And it helps us in circumstances. So I came to an understanding of a few things as I was doing my research and doing my preparation. And the title of our series that I believe is going to go for probably maybe, might be for this week and maybe next Sunday, is going to be called Chaotic. Chaotic. But before I get into that, I do want to, first of all, pause for a moment and thank God and thank everyone that has came out to our service last week, the Women's Empowerment Fellowship. The speaker did a great job. Alicia Prasad and Gloria Kai did an awesome job. Those of you that saw on Facebook Live and chimed in and plugged in, you saw that there were some great and awesome things that were in the works in the midst of what was going on here at this facility. And I'm grateful to God that we were able to bless people, we were able to give them some little gifts and things like that. So all the visitors that were a part of that, from our heart and from the bottom of the heart of the women, we sincerely thank you, we appreciate you, and we speak blessings over your business, we speak blessings over your life, we speak blessings over your family. Everyone that prayed, that interceded, whatever your part of it was, we thank God for you. And we believe that by doing that, by sowing that seed into this ministry and for that particular event, God is going to bless you abundantly. Amen. He's going to bless you. And there's greater things to come. We're going to have a community event as well. More information is going to come. But getting back into our sermon series called Chaotic. If you will turn with me to Mark, the fourth chapter, the 35th through the 31st verse. Mark, the third chapter, 35 through 41. Mark, the fourth chapter, 35 and 41, basically reads as thus. Mark 4, 35 through 41. It's Mark 4, 35 to 41. Y'all work with your pastor. I might have said 5, but I meant 4. Gotta roll it, roll it. Mark 4, 35 and 41. I'm going to read it. And it says that, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the word ceased, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I have preached so many times on that particular scripture. And each time that I have preached on that scripture, it's really just one element that we all understand, is that we understand that Christ has the authority to command peace. But if you look at it a little bit more, you'll find that it's interesting when you look at the circumstance of where they are. Now, mind you, they were just ministering to a group of people and was probably heading on to their next journey. And it was not only just that one ship, but it was other ships along with it. And even though the Bible does not account of, you know, the storms that occurred to the little ships, it talks about the big ship. And I understand that if they're going to the same place, then I'm sure they've experienced the same thing. And even though, with all the authority, and with all the power, and with all the ability and strength that the crew had, there was one thing for certain: they could not avoid the storm. Even having Jesus in the boat with them, they could not avoid the storm. Many times in our life, we find ourselves faced with storms. Now, these storms may not have the winds and the rain, they may not have the sea that rolls up, but they disguise themselves as major waves in our lives that cause and are assigned to wreak havoc in our atmosphere. These things can be labeled as chaotic situations. These things can be identified in every aspect of our life, in every facet of our being, we can find that there have been chaotic situations. I'm going to go back even into the Bible. Every scripture and every character in the Bible had to deal with chaotic situations. You cannot avoid it. I don't care how bad you are, how great you are, how big you are, how strong you are, how smart you are, how much money you have. You are always going to have chaotic situations. Chaotic situations have a tendency to magnify themselves and to attract themselves to you. It doesn't matter where you are. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter if you're doing good or if you're doing bad. You will have a chaotic situation that's going to come no matter where you are. Sometimes you really don't have control over when it comes or how it comes, but one thing that you can control, which we'll get into in a moment, is how you respond and how you move and how you thrive in the midst of a chaotic situation. How you facilitate, how you go beyond, how you move forward in a chaotic situation. Even if we're going to look at the lineage of Christ, and the history of Christ, or the story of Christ, or the walk of Christ, every time that he had influenced the people to understand about this great thing that was to come, about the coming of the end times, his assignment, he was faced with chaotic situations. People did not like what he was doing. Although they needed it, they rejected it. That causes chaotic situations. And all of a sudden, this one situation when he begins to stand still and not move on his motives, not move on his agenda, not to be dismayed or be destroyed or to back down and to back up, he begins to go forward in the very thing that God had placed in his heart for his assignment. And even by doing those things, he still opened the ability and opened the door for chaotic situations. But today I want to encourage you, and the title of this particular series, of this particular sermon, is called Unbothered in the Midst. I know that there's been, Facebook videos, and there's little TikTok videos and Instagram videos about certain situations, and I think the biggest thing right now, I'm not kind of into all the hip lingo and things like that, but there's one little thing that is kind of crazy that our kids are picking up now. You may have seen it, adults and parents may have seen it. I've never really understood what it actually means. I really didn't understand what it means either. But they have this thing where a particular situation happened or something happens where it could be out of order, and the person just basically does what they need to do, and they do this. Y'all seen that? Y'all ever seen that? Okay, see, well, I don't think we're on the stage a lot of what I'm talking about. Maybe Alex is what I'm talking about as well. But there'll be a situation doing something, and all of a sudden you see something kind of that could be a little bit off. The person handles it, and it does like that. Basically, it means that they're involved. Basically, it means that they have ice in their veins. Basically, it means that they are in a position in themselves that they are not, easily moved about what's going around. They do this little thing. I don't know what it is. I think it came from a basketball player. Don't make sense to me, but it's one of those fads that you love. And as you look on TikTok, look on Facebook, look at some videos, you'll see people doing this. Don't make sense. I'm serious. It doesn't make sense. But it's basically saying, in a sense, that they are, they've gotten themselves together, that no matter what's going on around them, what situation happens, or what comes at them, they're cool. When we had it differently, we would just be like, that was our little thing, but I'm outdating myself, but it's okay. Or being the greatest of all time, which is some people label as the GOAT, with basketball players, meaning that they were able, with their skill and their ability, they were able to handle themselves in a particular situation when they were faced with adversity. They were able to rise up to the challenge. Matter of fact, we were looking at one of the track stars, the Bolt, Usain Bolt, and how he would rise to the occasion and he would win the challenges that were before him. He would rise to the occasion no matter what came up or whatever the meter or the distance was. He would basically run his race to the fullest. No matter who his opponent was, no matter how far the distance was, he would run his race and he was unbothered. My wife made a comment that even probably a little bit before he saw the finish line and he knew that he had the edge, he would just kind of take his foot off the gas and just kind of coast on in. He already won it. He'd have to put all that amazing effort, but he would just coast on in. And when I'm reminded of that particular comment and that particular conversation, I'm reminded of the character of Christ. I'm reminded of how Christ was in the bottom of the boat, in the midst of all these different things going on, and in the midst of the waves rising, and in the midst of all the crew members are yelling and screaming. Some of them may have been thrown overboard. Some of them have been drenched with water and may have been hit by the thing that has been rattling and rolling on the boat. We find Christ down at the bottom of the ship, laying his head on a pillow. We find Christ unbothered, so to speak. If there was this image that there would be, you would see Jesus Christ stand with his feet spread apart and doing this. Meaning that he was unbothered. He was the greatest of all time. And it wasn't a bit of arrogance, it wasn't a bit of being better than anything else, but just understanding the very thing that we need to understand is that there is something greater inside of him. There is something that he is called to do, but there is also understanding the fact that he has access to something that is more powerful than the waves that they may rise up 100,000 feet or 200,000 feet. He has more power. He has more power than the wind that blows and may knock off buildings. They may knock things down. They may even turn the cliff upside down. He has more power than the rain that may come down, and as they continually fill up the boat, may cause the boat to sink down further into the sea. He has more power. And I begin to understand that in certain circumstances and in certain situations, we may feel like those crew members that were on the ship. When we are presented with certain chaotic situations in our lives, we sit there and we wonder how we're going to make it through, how we're going to get over to the next side. Even though yesterday we didn't have any type of problems, or didn't have any type of situation, didn't have any type of circumstances, everything was fine. And then when we woke up that morning, we got a notice on the door, we got a call from the doctor, we got a call or a text from our child that said they're in a particular situation, and all of a sudden we are in and find ourselves in a chaotic situation. In the last few years, from 2019 to tonight, this whole year has been a chaotic situation. If you would go to, let's say for example, you would fast forward into the future, and you would begin to have that person or that young adult do research and say, okay, when was the time when there was a chaotic situation? I am quite certain that when they open up Webster's Dictionary or Google it, they will see the year 2019 and 2021. When we had chaotic situations where there was a great divide between people of color. When we had chaotic situations where there was political divide between Democratic and Republican. When we had chaotic situations where there was great turmoil and great confusion, when we had a pandemic, when we had these situations where people were dying left and right, and they did not understand, they did not know how to control or how to stop. It was a time when they felt out of control. Jobs were being lost, businesses were being closed, family members had to kind of stop their day-to-day routine, and because of that, their financial situation raised up like the waves on that ship. Everything was chaotic. You didn't know what was going to happen. When you were certain at one particular time of your life, when you knew that you had a certain amount in your bank account, when you knew that you could get into your car and drive to your job, now you're in a situation where you don't even know if you have a job. Chaotic situation. And even though some of us may not have been affected as much as many, but because the little ships that are going in the same path of us, our family members and the people and our church members and our friends, they're having these particular turmoil in the situations, and because they are hurting, we hurt. Chaotic situation. One thing I realize is that you cannot avoid it. They're going to come. You can't predict them sometimes. They're going to come. But one thing I realize is even though they may come at times, they may present themselves, is better yet to say, even though they may present themselves to you, you still have the ability to be unbothered in the midst.
That's right.
I'm reminded of an old song that they used to sing. An old song that, you know, many of us probably have sung many times before. You know, an old song that would, you know, kind of keep us in times of uncertainty.
that would keep our minds and our soul grounded. And the words kind of go similar to this. I know the first part, I've got some other words here, but it says, time is filled with swift transition. None more on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. And the word says, hold to God's unchanging hand. Another part of this verse says that trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever the years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. Everybody ought to hold on to his hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. And it says to build your hopes on things eternal and just hold on to God's unchanging hand. We are blessed to be able to understand that there is something that is greater and more powerful than we could ever imagine. And if we really think about this, we hardly don't acknowledge the fact. And I was praying this morning as I was coming to church. I said, you know, it's more like, God, thank you that I have the use of my mind to acknowledge the fact that you are still God. Oh my God. I have the ability to understand that there is something still every day when we wake up. We don't understand. Every day when we wake up, we're not guaranteed to have all active use or use of our members. At any given time, something can happen at night and cause you to lose your memory or your function. But I thank God that when we woke up this morning, we still recognize and we identify the fact that God is still on the throne. Oh, I feel that in my spirit, that God is still in the absence of it. I'm so great. I mean, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I understand the whole plan of God. I mean, I know it to the fullest, but this one thing that I understand, that God has a plan and we are in it. God has a purpose and he is using us for it. God has a blessing and is coming in my way. God is moving and I am the next move of God. I don't you know what to get that. I don't know if that resonates in your spirit. I don't know if you have put that in your mind, because sometimes we get ourselves in a place where we feel fearful and we feel defeated and we feel frustrated and we feel irritated and we tell the Lord, just punch the air as a chaotic situation, because there is chaos on the wall inside of our head, but we got to hold to his hand. We have to settle ourselves and begin to pull on this faith thing that we talk about. See, we have to realize that we got the money already in the bank. We don't see it, but we got the money already in the bank account. We don't have to worry about writing the check, because we know the person that owns and holds the check. We don't have to worry about trying to get the medication. We know who the person is that is the medication. We don't have to worry about finding a place to stay, because he is the one that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he sent them forth to prepare a mansion for us before we were even known. So we don't have to worry about where our lives are going to be, because he died on the cross that our soul and our sin may be forgiven, and we shall live freely. So why are we worried about the chaotic situations? I can almost imagine as these men were just scrambling around trying to keep the boat to get to the shore and holding on to ropes and trying to get the sails down, and all things are happening and moving upside down and willy-nilly, and everybody is there trying to do their part to save the ship. And I'm sure there was a panic attack. I'm sure there was times where they felt like this is going to be the end. And everything that I knew before, I would not experience anymore. My friends and my family, my children. I mean, it's a possibility I may not see them if I don't get through this storm. But this dude that is sitting down at the bottom of the boat, that has preached around the world and said that he cares about the souls of his people. Why he ain't caring about the situation? What's going on with him that he feels? And look here, bro. If we die, you die. If you're supposed to be the master and the savior of our lives, do you not care about us? How many times have we asked the question when the chaotic situation seems so hard to bear? Do you not care? Do you not, do you see God? And it may not be from a place of aggravation. It may not be from a place of anger. It just may be a place of just, Lord, so don't forget about me. It may be a place where you're just feeling so lonely. You may be feeling so lost. You may be feeling unwanted. You may be feeling devalued. And you just cry out to God and say, God, did you remember? Please remember me. Just like the man that was on the cross when Christ was down on the cross. He couldn't go back and change whatever he did. He realizes that this is a situation that I can't get myself out of. But instead of looking at trying to pass and being mad at him for putting me on the cross, I kind of owned up to what I did. And this man that's on this cross didn't deserve to be here. But nevertheless, he's dying. But he said that he had to die so that the kingdom shall come. So with everything that I got, hey, bro, say to Master Lord, just remember me when you enter in to your kingdom. I don't know if you understand, but that was a switch. Even Christ himself, when he began to get to the place where everything was aching in his body, he says, my Lord, or my God, or Father, Father, why have you had this come upon me? I'm not spoiling your prayer, I'm sure. But you get the gist.
Yes.
But when it switched in his soul, in the most chaotic situation in his life, it switched, and he said, it's finished. You see, when Christ realized that this storm was nothing but a storm, here's the most powerful thing that just really shakes and just tingles my soul. He got up from his place of rest. First of all, before he got up from his place of rest, you have to understand that he was in a place, you got to understand the place where he was. I'm not talking about at the bottom of the ship. But you got to understand the atmosphere that he had, not only in his sphere of who he was, but also on the inside. He was to the point where he was able to just rest and be at peace in his rest. Y'all know how it is sometimes when you got so many situations calling you to sleep, you're worried about different things in your mind, and it's constantly kind of pulling on you, or something is going on. You know, sometimes even it's crazy how our minds work, because sometimes you may have a situation on your job, you know, where you're constantly working on something or dealing with something, or you may have shifted to a new job and you're trying to get the whole little system out, and that happened for me many times. You find yourself going to sleep and you kind of like you can't really sleep good because you kind of still working in your mind. Like, I gotta be super. And your mind has dreams about, oh, man, this time, I this time, you just gotta sit, and you don't even sleep good, you wake up, and I'm still at work. Right? Because your mind is still taking on the door that you open for whatever situation that is going on in your life
is still being processed in your mind. But Christ by himself, as in spite of all the things that were to come, all the things that had happened, you already knew that he was being rejected. You already knew that people were going to accept him. You already knew that people were threatening to kill his life. You already knew that he was going to be betrayed. You already knew that he was pierced inside, that people were not going to receive his word. You already knew that he was going to go to the certain ends of the earth. He knew that he was going to be paid. But in that time, in the midst of the storm, he was at peace. And so he gets up and calls upon him. Master, master, don't you care that we're about to perish? Do you care? Raise up. Doesn't argue like we do.
What do you mean I don't care? Don't you know my death? Didn't I get out of here like that?
He gets up, goes out to where he needs to be, positions himself. And he begins to speak and says, peace, be still. But before that, he said, why are you fearful? Where is your faith? See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but here it is. It is the evidence of things not seen. But when you look at it, it's not, here's the thing that sits in my spirit, I'll say it like this. Is that I dwell so much more in the things that seems to not be evident. And when I have that in my life, that verifies my faith. I know that I'm rich, because I ain't got no money in my bank account. But I know that I'm rich. I know that I'm loved, even though by the Father, even though I've never seen him. Because the things that I don't see, he is protecting me from. And allows me to see the things sometimes. And the things that I would never see in my life, you know, from when I was back here, he's allowed me to have those things. Okay, I'll show this to you. My daughter, Jaden. There was a time when I thought that I probably would never be able to have children of my own. It's a different circumstance, situation that was going on. So I got to a place where I settled it. It was something that was unseen. It was settled. Okay, God, I'll just do whatever you feel that you need to do. So I had settled that, and I said, okay, whatever your will is, there it is, whatever your will is, I accept that will. So it was unseen for what was to come in the future, but because I settled myself and said, you know what, I'm not going to be resentful, I'm not going to be mad, I'm not going to be upset or be disheartened. It's whatever the will of God is, I know, he's going to make a way. When I saw that, the unseen was manifested in my life. She's right there, sitting and breathing and living, eating all my food, making a coffee, makes a good coffee. That girl, bang, makes a good coffee. So what I'm saying is that the things that we don't seem to know or to see sometimes we have to just put it at, okay, I don't see it, but I know this happened. I don't see it, but I know that it's moving. I don't see it, but it's on the way. I don't see it, but it's coming. We have to settle ourselves and begin to pull on that faith like never before and say, okay, if I don't see us getting out of this thing, so that means that we must go get out of this thing. Because you have to understand that in order for God to work and do something miraculous, he has to give his glory. So sometimes he will make those conditions seem so hard for you to bear that he has to make it so that you'll begin to see the power and the hand of God so that you can rest assured that, okay, yeah, I know I'll follow God. Because if he did that, he surely didn't do this. So he begins to speak to the winds and he begins to say, peace, be still. Peace. I want you to write that thing down. We're going to start working on that. Peace be still. I talk about the man's peace of metal and all that stuff. I'm talking about an actual spoken peace where he says, peace be still. But here's the impression that it put in the lives and the side of the believers is that they begin to be wondering because as soon as he said it, the wind stopped blowing. The sea settled down. And everything was all really nice, but they could get to their destination without even worrying about being harmed. So what that did was, not only did it kill the storm and kill the wind and kill the rain, but it also settled every affair that
forget that.
It's because the circumstances have changed, the chaotic situation anymore, now they're able to say, whoa, I can see my family again. I can make it to the other side again. I can do it again now. I can breathe again now. I can live again now. That's all look crazy. But it's okay now. And they begin to wonder about this man. It says, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this man? Who is this man that was sleeping on the ship during the most chaotic situation of our lives? And he sat there, got up, turned the switch on, and probably went back to sleep. I'm sure you didn't know, oh yeah, you know, I did that. No, we didn't have to do that. Because he knew who he was. Peace. Peace.
Peace. One of my favorite scriptures. That blesses me so much. Colossians 3 and 15. But see, you have to understand that a lot of times there are two atmospheres that we have to understand. Now, that's what I'm going to just basically talk about today. And probably going to the next sermon. I'm about to close today. You have the outer and you have the inner. What I mean by the outer, you have this is the out. Us, you, everything. This act and this building. It's like right now we have outside, but we are inside, right? So if we look at our body, we have the outside by our reactions, our relationships, and everything that we face within the world. But we also have the inside, which is the very essence of our spirit, our soul, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, all these different eternal things, the parts, even the eternal physical parts of our body that moves and operates and all that other great stuff. Right? So Christ spoke peace for the chaotic situations on the outside. That same authority, that same power, matter of fact, that same weapon can be used for the chaotic situations that rest on the inside. See, your mind constantly is processing things and situations and relationships and things that have happened. It's processing memories. It's processing conversation. It's processing things that you see, things that you hear, things that you smell, things that you taste. It's constantly processing these things. So when you hear something that or someone goes left with something or a circumstance or a conversation that you had, you know what else I'm going to do? You open a door. It opens a door to where chaotic situations are able to come in. I don't like drama. I can't stand it. I cannot stand drama. I can't stand arguments. I just don't like it. I don't like confrontation like that. I will confront somebody when I need to, but I would rather rest on the side of, you know what, this ain't worth me getting all, because I know what it feels like. Because the outward situation for me, even though I'm a quiet one, so I'm on that line of quiet. The outward situation for a quiet person or a person that's like, okay, yeah, cool, laid back, kind of simple, you know, yeah, you know, I'll take that for, you know, I'll take my smoothness for, you know, weakness. But when you start messing with people that are like, okay, go ahead, now go, all right, cool. All right, let's go. All right, 1, 2, 3, run. Because it takes a bit of restraint to control your flesh on the inside. When you're constantly being poked, prodded, and pushed, even though the warning has been given, it's just like, okay, let me just let you know something real quick. Let me just let you see something real quick.
And for me, when that may occur, and it breaks and brings peace to the outside of the circumstance or the situation of the conflict, because it stops that, and I come back to myself, now I don't have peace on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? Man, I didn't want to do that. Man, I didn't want to see that. Man, I shouldn't do that. Man, I should have thought that. And that is the part that opens up chaotic situations that begin to build and build and build. Because when you lash out and you speak your mind, then it may stop bothering you, right? But then if you come back and you say, man, or you may go the other way, like, man, I don't want to fool anymore. And you have this hurt in your heart, this hurt in your soul, this hurt in your spirit, and now you can't get on anywhere else. And even though you may feel like you have peace within yourself, all it takes is for you to rub up against something, and that magnetic thing that happens with the chaotic situation, it kind of draws something, and it brings you right back into that circumstance again. That's not peace. That's not a situation. That's not peace at all. I don't ever want to have a life where I can't get along with someone. And even though we meet different people in our lives in so many situations, so many processes, and so many plans, you know, at the end of it all, what I love and what blows my heart up to pieces in a good way, is explode the love of my heart, is when I see reconciliation. I love reconciliation. And reconciliation is where there are two different forces that were at odds, they come together and they reconcile, and I mean, it's like awesome. I mean, it's like, man, you like, boy, we boom. There was a situation that happened with one of my best friends. This situation happened in the past. And even though I forgave him and I was cool with him, you know, whatever, it was fine, he was still feeling some kind of way. He was hurt and just kind of just, man, I hate that I did that, I just, you know, and so there was a distance that he kept. And then we came back into, you know, understanding after other chaotic situations came and helped us with that chaotic situation. And we got together and said, man, we talked. And he brought up all the things in his heart. He was now doing the physical thing to try to heal the inner part. He was actually trying to get the peace to come, right? And so when he began to get the peace to come, it was a blessing to him. Like I said, it was a blessing to him because I had already, man, we were right. We good. We straight. I'm done. We good. What's next? Let's go. Let's do this. We straight. Like it was before. You know, like it was before. Like Jacob and Esau. When they came together, Jacob was wrestling around with angels and just putting his wife in front of Baal and just all in turmoil all through the night. And God had already worked on me, so I was like, okay, yeah, man, we're good. I want to see my children, my nephews and nieces. How are you doing? Let's fellowship, let's eat. And your appetite gets bigger when you have now settled that situation. Think about it. You feel much better when you have settled that situation. You know, we don't argue. We don't argue. Do we argue? No, we don't argue. We may have our little disagreements, but we have a peaceful relationship because the overall thing that I believe in us is the fact of we like to laugh and we like to eat. We do like to eat. You know what I'm saying? So because of our situation, and the chaotic situation is trying to come, listen, chaotic situations try to come, but they don't have any voice.
That's right. No more.
There's no voice. You know what I'm saying? There's no. There's no voice. And I'm not talking about people, situations. Girl, no. There's a voice. We still gonna do what we need to do. Somebody said, no. There's a voice. We still gonna pray and believe God. People lose their jobs. No. There's no voice. I'm working. You're working. Working from home. And the blessings come.
in this ministry.
Oh yeah,
no. There is no voice. Because God already gave us our assignment, and he already said that if we do it, he's going to provide.
Amen.
No. No. There's no voice no more. We get along with everybody. There's nobody that's we don't have a clique.
No.
We got a family.
Amen.
We just all cousins together. Amen. And you better not touch me and one of us. Because you're going to get the whole 7, 8, 10 church wrong. Church wrong, even while they don't even come.
That's right.
We all sheep.
That's right.
Well, they ain't that well. Let me stop. We all come.
We all come.
Touch that one of these children. Oh no.
What?
All of us come. But who did what? What? Who? What?
I'm taking up why I did one. That won't be done.
I'm calling this sick. We're calling right here.
That's right.
Bridges on my way. They literally got big little bats. We cut the thing in the name of Jesus. Terry, we got the on the strength. She got hope. Bring on the key. Ah, in case we need extra. No, that's my girl. We are family. So what I'm saying is that there's no PI situation because it's canceled. Colossians 15 says that the peace of God rule in your heart to draw you your call and be thankful. Well, peace of God, your call, your heart, your call, in one body and be thankful. Meaning that for me, that was in times that I knew that things were trying to cause, I had to quote that in my spirit. Because my agenda and my motive and my mantra or whatever you want to say, my mission, my goal was Colossians 3:15 for a several number of years. Is that God? Well, let the peace of God. I've said that scripture so many times in tears. Well, let the peace of God. Rule in my heart. I can't even get to the other part. So let the peace of God rule in my heart. Let the peace of God rule in my heart. So let the peace of God rule in my heart. Because if I let the peace of God rule, that means that I let the peace of God lead and guide. And so what the peace of God does, it begins to find where it needs to be, and it begins to settle the affairs. It keeps that from coming in. Peace of God. Last scripture I want to talk about, we're going to get into this later on. Like I've got us orchestrating this thing. Y'all getting something out of this? Philippians 4, 6 and 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It is important that we understand about operating in the midst of chaos, unbothered. We're going to have circumstances and situations, but I want you to, as much as you can, to really remember those scriptures, especially Colossians 3:15. And when things seem to be just wound up, close the door. The door like just wants to open. Close the door. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes you have to avoid certain doors. And what I mean by avoiding certain doors, in order for you to have peace, and this is what we're going to talk about next, there are certain things that you have to do to avoid those doors. We're going to talk about that next sentence. Come next sentence. Why was this? There's certain things you have to do. But I want you to understand there are certain things when you understand it. It's just an awesome thing. Whatever happens in my life today, God is glorified. And I am at peace with everything that has happened in my life and everything that's going to happen in my life. Whereas I can enjoy it because I'm not worried about it. Chaotic situations occur, but we're involved.
Amen.
Come on, give God praise.
Amen.
Come on. You want to say something? Come on. Come on. She asked me, she said, Daddy, can I say something to the church? What you want to say to me? That's too loud. Keep it short. Okay. Okay. You want to say it? Just want to say it, okay? Want me to say it? I can't remember what to say. Trust? About trust? Trust in each other? Okay, that's a good thing. Trust. Good point. When we trust in God, when we trust in His things and trust in each other, it allows us to have an ability to be able to eliminate all the chaotic situations that we have. See, I can trust Ms. Bridget. I can trust all of you to make sure if something happens, if something goes on, what I know about your character, what I know about you and your ability and your level in God, if you think it's little, small, or whatever it may be, I trust to know that the hand of God is on your life. So in that process, in that matter of trust, I don't have to get all uneasy because you know what? He should know what to do. Gloria, I already know what to do. And this very same trust that we have to have in our family. When we trust each other, we know their hearts. And we listen to what they're saying. We listen and we respect all. Christ does that with us. He knows each and every one of us. He knows our abilities. He knows who you are. He knows exactly the things that you cannot bear. He knows the things that are trying to take you out. He knows those things. He knows these issues. And we have to trust and know that He is God. Amen. Come on, give God praise. All right? Gracious and Heavenly Father, if there be any one of you that desires to know Christ your personal Savior, even on this line, even on our Facebook Live, if you don't know Christ your personal Savior, that is the biggest thing. That's the first step that you need to do to kill the chaotic situation. That's the first thing that you need to stop.
Yes, sir.
You ready to talk now? Okay, go ahead. You have to talk, baby. Come on. Huh? You know if you can do it? You want to try it one time? Oh, what you want to say? What you want to say? You want to help me pray? Okay. That's first of all, I'm going to give people a press. Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord, and I make you my Savior. Come into my life. Come into my life, Lord, and begin to forgive me of my sins. I know that you are the Son of the living God that take away the sins of this world. And today, right now, I make you the Lord of my heart. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I cancel every assignment that the enemy tries to do to destroy my family. I break every generational curse by the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, I am free. Today, I'm delivered. I am healed. And I am restored. If you have said it in prayer, then all of heaven is rejoicing with you because someone has accepted Christ their personal Savior. It doesn't worry about title. Don't worry about all this other stuff and processes and all those things. Don't even worry about it if you don't even know about it. But I would suggest that you begin to learn about it. Learn who Christ is and the plan that He has for your life. And I guarantee you, you're going to see that your chaotic situations will start to be eliminated. Because you'll have that peace of God in your heart to help you through these circumstances, through these adversities. And so today we pray for you. We pray that you are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We pray today that you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that will begin to show you the mysteries of the gospel, begin to teach you, walk you through those things, and begin to teach you the authority and the power that you have. And if you don't have a church home, you are welcome to always come here. We're located here right at 1234 82nd Street in Tampa, Florida, 33619. You can always catch our website on www.rtrmi.org. And we ask, if you feel this has been a blessing to you, please sow into our ministry so that we can continue to do this not only locally, but around the nation and across the globe or across the world. But right now, this is Pastor B and the RTRM Ministries and Jada signing out. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. All right. Praise God. Baby, you gotta let me know. I can't. What do you want to say? You still want to say? You still say it. Okay. Well, what is it you want to say? You want to tell me and I'll tell them? So, what do you want to say? What is it? Don't worry about it. We're doing it wrong. That's all you never worry about. It. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
Well, God got some great things. Don't be scared. Don't have to worry about it. Wow. So. What? Okay, right now, What do you want to say? Come
here. All right,
Pastor.
What's in your heart?
See y'all later.
Let's okay. Go.
It's okay. I'll just tell you. I'll tell you what happened. I'll do this. Hopefully you'll be the next week. That's what I'm saying.
So next weekend is Father's Day. So you don't have to say something wrong. Here's your dad. But did a good job or not. But we'll make a big one. And we'll put it on the thing so they can see. How about that?
What?
Yeah, you got your key, Bridget? The key to the church? Because I think mine is. Okay. Let's pack up this person. Well, you want to score pack up?
Yes, those buttons that my grandma saw. And do you know what I think about these lights?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the blue represents God. Since there's more blue than the red, I feel like it represents God. Be